Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio.
Welcome to the American Legion Show. This is Patriot Nation Radio, the American Legion's phone number 347-637-3942. Welcome, and we have our guest tonight, Marlon Brown. Very funny guy, very serious man. Has his own podcast. Does an excellent job, you know, bringing issues together and people. He's very dynamic, as a lot of us Black people like to say. Dynamic is a dynamic word in our culture. Well, I live in American culture, so. Once he comes on, I'm going to bring him on. Let me introduce you to about Marlon here first. He is originally from Trinidad, Tobago, and he's also has his own show called Marlon, welcome to our program.
Tell It Like It Is.
Is that right?
Yeah, one is Tell It Like It Is, and the other is Too Strong on YouTube.
Awesome. So, Marlon, welcome. I'm very pleased to have you on my program tonight, and I've watched your programs. Actually, as a matter of fact, we came across you one day, my wife and I, we watched your video about wearing masks, and we just laughed, and I played that thing over and over again. You're in your car talking about, all I got to do is put a straw, piece of straw together and put it on your face, and they'll pass as a mask. And
yeah.
Ever since then, I've looked at it like, this guy is funny. And you say, well, I go in there because you have excuses, you know, yourself, why you go in there without a mask. And they don't, people don't bother you because you look intimidating and everything. So I welcome you to the show. This is the American Legion Show. We're happy to have you on board today.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to the conversation myself, and thank you for reaching out. It's refreshing to get some new ears.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the stats from last week's show. We actually had listeners in France and, parts of Europe and the United States, of course, Canada. So we're getting out there. We have callers every once in a while. It's been picking up, and we always get somebody we don't know who they are kind of thing. But I have a lot of friends on Facebook as well, but I like seeing those people that have their own that are following my program. So, and guess what, Marlon, we may have an opening here. You never know. Yes. I will talk to the producer or to the boss man about that, because I think he'd be a great addition to this program, this network. So this week it's Marlon Brown, and I'd like to ask you some questions. And I know a lot of things you believe. You're a Black conservative. Those are not as rare as they used to be. We're everywhere. We're showing up. People are fed up with what's going on or what happened to them in the past. So now, could you explain why or how you became a Black conservative? And before you say that, I have another friend I work with at the airline from Trinidad, Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And her thing was that she couldn't relate. It's kind of like being an Oreo like I am. Like, that's the book that I wrote about being an Oreo, not fitting into the Black community. She said it was the same way. And actually, I mentioned that in my book, called Colorism, and how just because you're one way doesn't mean you are that way. And that's exactly how she felt about it. So I want your take on that.
Yeah, she's not wrong. There seems to be a disconnect in the minds of Black Americans to anyone else that's Black that's coming into America. We have to either conform to their way of thinking or we're not Black. And that's what I was told quite often when I first came to America, was because they realized I don't have the same, how best would I say it, the same mindset that they do about certain things. If I didn't agree with them, oh, you must be one of those people that sympathize with white people and say you're not really black and blah, 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 blah. But the truth of the matter is, folks like your friend and myself, we grew up in an all-black community. If anything, I would say we are part of a black community. It's just not the black that they think is acceptable. And that's the problem, is that when you start doing that, you alienate a large group of people for no reason, because you never get to know me. You just assume, because I don't think like you right at the top. You put me in a class that instantaneously, I don't want anything to do with you now either. You know, the same way you don't want to do anything with me, I don't want nothing to do with you, because if that's how you're going to view me, yeah, you can stay in that corner. But I was not necessarily a non-conservative before I came here. I was one for a long time, just not in the American sense. Valued family, valued the rule of law, pretty law-abiding citizen. I didn't have an idea of hating another person because of the color of their skin kind of thing, and I didn't feel oppressed. If anything, my mother always told me if I can think about it, then I can probably try and achieve it. When I got here, that whole something external has its wills against me, and because it has its wills against me, I must get angry about it and then retaliate again. I've never had that mindset about anything. That power. That means I'm a sissy. If I can't handle that or find a way around it, I must be soft, because that's how I saw it. And when I would tell them that, they're like, you can't talk to us like that. It's like, hold on. If this is America, like you say it is, then I can pretty much tell you anything I want. So let's just back that's up right. that train right now. So that's right. pretty much it. So she's not wrong. That's exactly how it was. You do get ostracized.
And I find it fascinating that you actually have Asian Indians in your country that are running things, or or your former country. I thought it was fascinating. Yeah. I had no idea that was going on down there, but, you know, you never know. I mean, it's amazing what you don't know about what's going on down in the Caribbean. So the other thing is, because you are black, and I know this is part of what I asked before, people, here's my experience. The whites treated me like they had to act a certain way to me because I would relate, just like the blacks do. Do you see that? Do you find that typical?
I guess, yeah, in a lot of ways, but no in all in some. I typically, by nature, it seems like I just gravitate towards the white people that I'm around, only because I live in a white neighborhood. But it's the ideals that the person has that really intrigue me to them, and them to me. And the freedom I have with a person to be myself, say what I want to say, think how I want to think. They can have the same freedom, even if we disagree, that we don't get pissed at each other because you think a certain way. Or I don't associate with you. If you think a certain way that's completely against my way of living, then I just don't associate with you. I don't hate you, but I know my limits of tolerance, and I just don't have anything to do with it. And most of the people I'm around are okay with that. They understand, and we can be mutually respectful about that. And that's who the people I decide to surround myself with, whether they're black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter. But I do agree that I get more acceptance from, ironically, the white populace in America than I do from the native black American people. And I find that kind of weird. Understand why. It comes down to a philosophical thing for me. They believe that I'm not a part of their struggle over the past 60, 70 years, and that is factual. I have not struggled what American blacks have struggled with, but we have struggled with just as much tension in race relations where I grew up. I mean, it's not any different because we heard about it all the time on the news back home. American news was our news. It wasn't foreign to us to hear about it. But for me, if I can relate to anyone, I'm going to relate to them. If I can't, then I just have nothing to do with them. It has very little to do with the race.
Okay, Marlon, let me dispel some of your theories there because, hey, I've been here for the whole struggle, and they still call me that. I don't know. I'm not down to the top. So,
okay,
fair
enough.
Burst your bubble, but
fair enough.
I was born here in 1965, and it's been that way ever since. You know, things are getting better. I'm older now, but at the same time, I mean, I was caught between a rock and a hard place because growing up in the late 60s and 70s, there's a lot of tension there, you know, between the whites and blacks and mm-hmm. living down in the South where I was. But at the same time, I do relate closer to Americans. People who call themselves Americans and they act like Americans and they respect each other's rights. Those are the people that I like, that I hang with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you. That's why you're here. I really have patriots on this show. And you definitely are one. So let's switch over to what you're doing. What motivates you? And tell me some of the kind of things that are hot topics right now for you and your program and what you're doing. I mean, give an example, Omicron. I talk about that every once in a while because of the ridiculousness of how this thing is set up. Just so what things are you into right now?
Well, the virus thing, that it's become comical to me at this point. And I really can't keep track of anything they're saying anymore, and none of it makes any sense. And even if I were a brain-dead individual, even at that level, I think I could see right past it. Like, it doesn't make sense. So I don't even tackle that anymore because it's like electronics. Every 2 days, something new pops up, and I should buy that now, and I should buy a new phone, and a new phone breaks in 5 days. Oh, a new phone. I can't keep up with them. I just ignore everything they tell me I need to do, and I just don't do it. They tell me I'm supposed to wear a mask. I just don't wear a mask. You know, anything I do the opposite of what they say to do anymore, and that seems to be working out fine for me.
That's right. You do, because I've seen you do it.
Yeah, the other topics that I'm collaborating with, one guy, Corey, you might have kept up with him too, and we're going to be dealing more with trying to drag more Black Americans off of that mindset that we were talking about, out of the normal rhetoric of people are against me and I have no hope, to think for yourself, get off the mental plantation, and do what you got to do. So we're trying to do more programs towards that end on that channel. But for me, mine's having a hard time getting traction because of what I'm tackling. My channel specifically is more about the philosophical approach to life. I go into more things that have to do with the human condition, the mental condition of man, how we see things, how we interpret things. So a lot of philosophical topics I go into on my show. And when I started digging into that, I lost a lot of people because they said, that's a little too deep for me. And like, well, it's just, I'm sorry, but my mind is always on that pathway of why is man and the human person always bent on the negative? And why can't we see things in a forward-thinking light? And that's where my emphasis is right now. Right now I'm going through a series on Uncle Tom's Cabin and The Will to Power by Nietzsche. So I'm kind of linking those two books together and seeing how the despair of the mind that Nietzsche was talking about linked to slavery and how much the slaves actually took on that persona. And now Black America, a few of them have that same ultimate despair mindset going on. That's taking a bit to take off because not many people want to go down the rabbit hole of thinking that far into it. But I'll still continue doing it because I think there are some people that want to hear.
I believe it's necessary. I think that people don't realize that they're in this and they're just following whatever happens. And we are like falling into the trap of who we're supposed to be, people think we're supposed to be, and then what the media tells us we're supposed to be, and how we're all supposed to act and vote and behave. I think that hits it right on. I like what you're doing because it's so relevant, and I've experienced this a lot. to the point where, you know, you wonder, how are we ever going to get out of this if we keep following these leaders or football leaders?
Yeah, and that's the thing that Corey and I are tapping to, is the fact that they don't care. They have zero care for our condition. If they can make a buck off of it, they'll be happy. And that they'll keep the process going, keep you enslaved, keep buying my books to learn how you're enslaved, and then, you know,
right.
They'll be happy with that. And they don't really want the problem to end, because you tell me, when was the last time you heard Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, any of them present a solution to the problem?
Never.
Never. They tell you
they
about the
fire
problem,
season.
But they never tell
yeah,
you what the problem
the fire.
Solution is.
Exactly. You got it. So, yeah, every time you run for a fire or something that looks like somebody got hurt or damaged, you know, because of skin color, then you have a problem. This
mm-hmm.
is one of the reasons I think this is every time I see the news and I hear somebody got shot, I'm like, oh, no, I hope he's not black, because that's the end of the world right there. It's going to be all over the headlines everywhere. Oh, no. Forget the fact that he was robbing a store or that he was harassing somebody and beating somebody up. That doesn't matter. That's just the way we are today. It's a knee-jerk reaction. So
you can kind of tell anymore these days what the race of the person is going to be within the first 2 days. And I'll
right.
this. And if you watch and see, and you probably know where I'm going with this, but, you know, if the incident happens and within a day they mention the race, or,
yeah.
you know, you don't get a name, or you don't get a name, you can assume it's a black person. If you don't get a name and you don't get a race right off the top, it's black. Everyone
right.
else gets an identifier the day after. The Parkland shooter guy, he got, what, it was a day after? He got his name put out there. The Simpkins kid,
right.
it was 5 days before you knew it was a black kid. They were struggling to put it on. Where is that case? No one knows about it anymore, but you're hearing everything about his parents and the white kid, and he did this, and his history was this, and look at the child support thing, and the CPS was called, but you don't hear anything anymore about the black kid that did the shooting and took off
right.
in a car, got bond, and nothing else after that point. They don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? This is one reason, because that thing you brought up with the kid that got on bail and everything, that made me believe that there's no way that Jesse Smollett was going to be convicted, because it's like
right?
black people were free out of jail card everybody had for some reason for a little bit there. When he got convicted, a friend of mine told me on the last show, yeah, he's going to get convicted. I thought, are you sure, in the wake of getting bail for murdering five people and running over all these others? And that doesn't make any sense. But Jesse Smollett, I think he's going to take other people down with him, but that's another subject. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not going to get any jail time. He'll end up appealing it. And then the courts will be like, you know, the big trial's over. No one's got their eye on it anymore. They're just going to quietly let him slip off, and he won't get any time.
They're going to have to.
And I think the same thing will happen with the guy that ran the car into the crowd. You won't hear anything more about that case.
Right, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, that one's
But, you know,
dead.
Jesse has the ability to take down Kamala Harris and Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's why he's not going to go.
Yeah, yeah. It's so politically charged anymore, but they still expect black people to make it in this country from their perspective, right? They want to have progress, but they won't hold the real people that are keeping it back accountable. Now, what good is Jesse Smollett doing for the black community by lying about this? Real cases, actual, real things. Yeah, and the real ones are going to get swept under the rug just like this. It's all going to be fake. No one's going to believe it anymore when the real ones happen, but this clown is lying about it, and he's going to get off scot-free. No one's going to report anything anymore. It's not going to be taken seriously. It's going to be a bad
case.
They
double down on the lies.
Yeah. There's no more accountability left in this world, and I think the only thing we have left to do is to, for ourselves anyway, is to expose it. You know,
Right, right. And, you know, that's I think that's our job, because the media's not doing it. Everybody's covering for everybody else. And, you know, I'm glad things are happening slowly a little bit here. We're making some progress. And some things are just, you know, just untouchables. You can't talk about this, can't talk about that. Can't talk about the January 6th prisoners. So I had a guest talk about that, an attorney for one of them. The things that are going on over there in that prison, you would not believe. Oh, my God. So that's not America. It's the Constitution, and that's why my show is called the American Allegiance Show, because it's all about the Constitution. And I know you are a very fierce defender of it. So what do you see? What's your opinion on things like that, politicians and things, you know, I don't know how it is in Trinidad. So what do you think about their privilege? There's white privilege. I don't know about that, but I know there's political privilege.
Oh, there's definitely political privilege. you only have to look at the media's attention to Joe Biden to know that there's political privilege. You don't have to look any further than that. You don't have to look any further than how they treated the last president to know that there's political privilege. If you come in as an outsider who's never touched political stuff before, they will make sure that you never want to run for office again. They will make sure that never happens. They will lambaste you. And the odd thing is, they don't go after career Republicans or career Democrats. I want you to take a look at this. If you really look at it and analyze it, they do not go after career Democrats or Republicans. No slander. Matt Gaetz is fairly new. They go after him.
Right.
Brobert, they go after her. They do not go after established Democrats and Republicans for a reason, because all of them have their hand in the pot. They're all taking pieces out and putting pieces in. You look at the younger generation of ones that are coming in the Republican Party, and every last one of them are being attacked right now.
That is
true. And when the new Democrat ones are all on the bandwagon of the vintage Democrats anyway, or they're completely socialist, so they don't even matter. If you really take a look at it. So, yes, there is a definite privilege happening inside the political realm. The problem is, we will look at it, and we won't want to get into it, and I can understand why you don't want to. But the more we do that, the less influence we have and the less we can get done. It will take a certain type of constitution to do it, though. You can't just be a regular Joe and unable to take slander, because you have to be able to take the bullet, take the insult, and keep moving on and not let it slide and let it slide off. Not everyone's built for that. And the more of us that are built for that need to get into it so that we can put them in their place.
Right, exactly. So one of the things that we've been talking about here, I'm not going to talk about the vaccine much, it's just the mandates, because it affects me and my job and a lot of people I work with. So my problem is, they're saying, well, Joe Biden, you should have went through Congress to make it legal. It's all falling apart right now. You know, things are going to be undone completely, in my opinion, and some of it's happening now. However, Congress has the ability to make the law for the mandates, but they don't, according to the Constitution. Still unconstitutional. But if they get to that point, look at all those congressmen and senators. They're not even required to have anything done. Why is it better for them? And I don't understand that. That's the privilege. There's a political privilege for you. And it's my right to die and get the virus. I already had it. I survived it. I don't want all this other stuff. This is not for me. And I think it's anti-American. It's almost like being in Australia. I feel bad for those guys over there. My show does reach Australia. Had one listener a couple weeks ago. And I don't know. I just, there's things that cross the line so boldly and gets ignored. Just because somebody wants it done doesn't mean it. That's not the way it works in America. There's nothing. There's no provision for safety for other people. It doesn't work that way. And they're trying to make it what it isn't. And this propaganda, people are believing it. That's what scares me. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, Australia is fighting back slowly. They just did a a group was starting to fight back against the government mandates. So I think you'll probably start seeing a little more movement in Australia in the next couple, 4 or 5 months. I think you'll see more people fighting back because it's getting stupid. They're actually putting people in camps, and they're calling people who get away from the camps escapees and all this. It's just getting insane. Mm-hmm. But over here, because they control the media, they have a way of pushing a view of the so-called unvaccinated, like we're some kind of zombie or something.
Right.
They have a way of pushing it to make us look as though we should be angry, or we should be mad that everyone else is getting vaccinated and we're not, or we should be held in a bad light because we're not getting vaccinated. When the fact is, if it is really a vaccine, you should be fine. And the fact that you're not fine should tell you that it's not a vaccine. And if you're not fine, why would I take it and be in worse position because now I've added something to my body that I didn't want and still be at risk of getting sick? I don't understand how that makes any sense. It's like telling me, hey, you know, you're gonna lose your teeth. Here's a mouth guard. It's made out of concrete. I need you to put it in there to save your teeth. But if you fall, you're still going to break your teeth, but you need to wear it. Well, can you tell me I'm going to break my teeth if I put this in it and I could actually break my teeth worse? Yeah, but you need to have it to protect you from breaking your teeth. But I'm still going to break my teeth either way. Yeah, then let me just break my teeth my way.
Yeah.
Well, no, we can't have that. And that's where the asinine part comes in. They infringe on freedom for something that more infringes on your freedom by telling you it's not infringing on your freedom. Then they'll tell you, take it and get back to normal while not letting you get back to normal. Like, that doesn't make any sense. If you're
right. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So how far? That was like 600 days ago. 600 days ago.
It's like SpongeBob. You know when you see SpongeBob and it says 2 years later? That's exactly what this is. you take the vaccine and then you're like 2 years later, and then you come back and it's the exact same thing. Like, come on, man. Like, really?
Right, right. So I think the whole thing, it kind of makes me laugh because it's like, it doesn't make any sense at all, like you said. And you realize that the unvaccinated are actually also the people who only had one of the series of two shots. They're counting them as unvaccinated as well. So they've already already got the first shot. Whatever happens after that, they consider them still unvaccinated until the second shot, and I think 14 days after that, something like that. So it's kind of weird. So Unless you take the one-shot thing, but at the same time, it's like, in my opinion, they're vaccinated. I mean, what more do you need? What's the second shot for? I don't know. I don't want to know. I think it's kind of scary. I'm not going to put that in my arms. I'm glad I got out of the military when I did.
In time. Yeah.
Probably kicked out. And that's the worst thing, you know. Think about this. When you're in there and you're forced to get it, or your career is over, some people like are right on the edge of retiring, and you get a dishonorable discharge. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? Just same thing with retirements, pulling retirements from people. They're taking away what they earned. So there's going to be huge, huge lawsuits coming. And I know one of my attorney friends actually was talking about these big pharma companies are not protected. The government cannot protect them. They will be going after them. There's a lot of fallout coming down the road. And for a lot of people, that's good news. But a lot of people are like, they have to take it because they got to feed their family and they went and took it. And I know a lot of people like that in their situation. And it's kind of like forcing people to do something they don't want to do, which is crazy.
Well, part of that's the fear campaign that they did. You know, they did a really good job of making people afraid to not have it. And by making you afraid to not have it because you could lose so much, you'll be forced in your mind to do it. If more people realize that they can't force you to do it and you don't have to do it and you don't do it, they have less power. But the more people that they can convince that if you don't, I can really exert my power, and they do it, they're kind of putting us behind the eight ball because now we have no power of numbers. We only have to go with what they do. You know?
Right. Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors, and I love it. You can't even detect the variants have no tests. And this is what Oh, we found it here in Africa. It's definitely the Omicron. We found it in California. How do you know? There's no test for it. It's like, are you serious?
Because it tastes different. You know, it looked different. It smelled different. It's Omicron.
So they couldn't even detect the D variant. There was no D variant because there is no test for it. It's the same as the other ones. So you can't tell what's what, which kind of leads me to believe, like, what kind of game are they playing? And I understand what they're doing. I mean, and did you ever notice that the airports have never been affected by the coronavirus? The place that has the most people going in and out from all over the country, they've never had an outbreak there. Why? Because they need airports for transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
I said, you never hear about an outbreak starting there. Not once. Not once. And not only that, the process of what they do for the airport should tell everybody that this is an absolute joke. Your social distance in the line at ticketing.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with ticketing, you can go and sit down anywhere you want and eat without a mask. You have to get up with the mask, then you can go to your seat to wait boarding. And once you're about to board, you can be 2 inches from the person in front of you. And when you get on the plane, you can sit down next to the person, take off your mask to eat, hang out the whole 9 hours next to each other, and get off the plane, and that will be fine. But you can't go to school as a kid with a low risk without wearing a mask and social distancing. That makes zero sense. And I don't know how people don't see it. I mean, I do know because people are sheep, but I just don't know how you can't logically look at this, even illogically look at this and think something ain't right. Something ain't right.
I was on a flight last month, went out west, to the central west of the United States, and they give us wipes to wipe down the seats. So they didn't do it themselves. They're not cleaning the airplanes they clean, especially the regionals. They never do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that all those people that got off the flight before me, which I saw go by, nobody cleaned their seats. They just sat down. I mean, you're trying to put your luggage away. You don't have time to sit down and block the aisles and clean the seats. Nobody's going to do that. That doesn't make any sense. So those planes have the same whatever diseases all week. They clean them every night, but the people that clean them don't do the best job. I used to work at an airline, I know. So the same thing with the mask. The mask doesn't work because you don't cover your eyes. You don't check your hands. And it just frustrates me because in the military we did chemical warfare training, and this would never pass. You would die or you'd be injured if you were in a real situation with chemical warfare.
You know, you mentioned that because I did on my old YouTube channel, I got erased by YouTube because I said this. I actually had a descriptor of the mask that they tell us to use, the micron protection that you get out of it, and then the micron size for gases, for the virus, for dust particles, and for smoke particles. And the mask that they want us to use will never, I don't even care if it's on a drop of water, be able to protect against the virus particles coming through the air. They are I think it was 0.01 micron, and the mask only filters up to, I think, 15 microns. So you're talking about a very massive gap of space. Even if it were to say 0.01 and only 1 micron allowed, you're still looking at about, 100% difference in what they will allow and not allow. It has to be double. It has to be 100 times the size for it to be effective. It doesn't work. It will never. It's not for that. It's not built for that. If it's a virus, you're not going to get protection from a mask. And people are so dumb. Are you really going to believe that? Like, I don't. It hurts my head every time I try to analyze it, and to see how many people just willy-nilly go along with it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's like you said before, it's a fear factor, and people believe, the government's not going to tell you wrong, or the CDC, or Fauci. I know people who love Fauci. he's my doctor, he's my hero. It's like, listen to what he's saying. He said, you know, he contradicts himself all the time. People don't really pay attention. It's like, but he's Dr. Fauci. He's like a figure. He's like an icon now. So it's kind of like a dangerous situation. It's like a Dr. Mengele takes over the medical, and he's 80 some years old. Nobody stays in the government that long. I was a federal employee for 25 years. They kick you out at like 57. You only have so many years. So I'm thinking, how is this guy still in here? How come he's making more than everybody else? So what's he making on the side? Of course, millions of dollars there, but
I think
that's just strange. You know, oh, Kevin, you're 56 and a half. You're going to have to get out. I know people that are like in their 70s, but they got in late. But this is like insane. He's got to be there for a reason. That's just my opinion, my little conspiracy theory. He's got a purpose. For something.
He definitely has a purpose. He's a shill for everything. And if you really look at the information that's come out about him, that they're trying to, this like they did with the laptop, that they want to censor because it makes the truth and makes them look bad. If you really take a look, and people please go look at this and look at how he does his experiments, you will not want to listen to this guy at all. Like, you will want nothing to do with the man. But they don't want that info out. They have to push what they have to push in order to get the control they want. And when they get the control they want, then they'll let all the information out. And by then, it's too late for you to do anything about it.
Exactly. So here, let me tell you, I have a quick development here. So Facebook says my content isn't available right now. When it happens, it's usually because the owner only shared it with a small group of people, changed the scene, so I don't understand what's happening. I got to look into that. You know, I had a period there where I could not add any people to my posts. So it continues on and on, right? It just continues on and on. This is, like, amazing how this works, how this doesn't work.
Yeah, so, you got to get used to it, man. The censorship is real.
Yeah, just like what's his name? Zuckerberg said, just admitted that. Yeah, it's just opinion. It's not really facts. Because come on, facts. The facts. I got one thing from the CDC right from their website. Put it on there, and they said they fact checked me on it. Be careful what you're saying. It's like, okay, it's straight from their webpage, so it doesn't really matter.
you were against
community standard. Hey, I've got a friend who always gets kicked off. He's made like 10 pages. He's always trying to get back on.
On these people.
No. So, Marlon, what's your – so tell us a little bit about yourself. You tell people you don't have to tell what you do for a living, but where you live approximately. And so you have a family.
Yeah. I do. I do.
I understand. Yes, go ahead.
No, I have a family of, there are seven of us. My wife and I and five kids. Four boys, one girl. I live in Washington State in a little town called Wenatchee. I've been here about 20 plus years, so it's pretty nice here. Gets a good amount of snow and a nice amount of heat in the winter, in the summertime. So we get all four seasons, which is nice. I could do without winter. I really could do without winter if I had a choice. I'd get rid of winter.
I understand. I used to live on a tropical island when I was a kid, so I totally get it.
I don't like it. But I used to be an electrician. Until a pretty good accident, and I almost broke my back, and I've had both shoulders worked on surgically and right knee. So I'm kind of on no work right now. It's on disability because of those pretty major injuries. So the podcasting is really the only thing I have left for financial income. But with the amount of censoring, that's become almost impossible because they keep, like I said, I've lost two YouTube channels already. And I've gone through 13 TikTok accounts, and every time I try to make money there, they kill that, pages. So every turn I try to make, they, you know, because you have to talk about the things that need to be talked about, they don't want to talk about, and you can't get any traction. So I've been trying to find ways to make all that, you know, I believe that, for me anyway, what I have to say is not because I'm super intelligent, is because I have a way of saying it that some may not. And some people already, I can see right now that people will listen, even though they will hear it from somebody else, they won't listen to it until it's said a certain way. And the way I say things is not for everyone, but it's for some. And for the few that it is for, that's why I do it. I don't claim to be any kind of a guru, but I know that I do think a little longer on things than most people do. And I want that information that I find, when I do find good information, people to get. So that's my goal right now, is just to get as much critical information out to people, encourage people to think critically, encourage people to start pondering the things that people hand them instead of just believing it willy-nilly. And however that looks, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, and I've watched your show. You're very careful with words. You're very wise, and you think about things before they come out of your mouth. That's very important. So everybody, you guys got to check out Marlon Brown. Marlon Brown's program, podcast. Brown, you look him up on Facebook. It's Marlon, B-R-O-W-N-E, Brown with an E. Marlon Brown, he's fantastic. He's got great shows. He has great guests, and I know you've been like on SUNY's show many times, SUNY Blank.
Mm-hmm.
And have her scheduled to come on sometime this month, maybe next month. It all depends.
Cool.
You have a great program. I enjoy it. You have a really different perspective. And that's what I like about it. You know, as an Oreo, I can understand how you feel and how you think. So, and seven of you guys, awesome. More the merrier, right?
Agreed.
And, you know, I used to be an electrician, too. I was an aircraft electrician, and I got my knees messed up in the military. So we have something in common there, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that my back injury, I fell 15 feet and landed directly on my tailbone and compressed the entire spine. And so it's now I'm just in the process of trying to recover from all of that. So it's just been interesting, to say the least.
A serious question here. I do this radio program, and I'm sure you do, and as long as there's peace set in the house, it doesn't interfere with anything, it's cool, but, so your wife and everybody, they appreciate it, they accept it as, you know, something that's not taken away from them, because there could be that feeling every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to balance life. And actually, you're helping me out, because I'll be free this evening. free.
There
so
you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So by the way, I'm going to talk to, but we don't get paid for this program. We do it because we love it. But if you'd like to get some exposure, some more, I'll have to talk to the boss about that. I think you'd be a great addition to this network.
I would have no problem joining. Like I said, the more things I can get to get the message out to help, I will. I mean, I'm just trying to get as much traction as I can right now, and if there's a spot, I will occupy it.
Great. I understand you mentioned running for office months ago.
Yes, and I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm deciding between mayorship here in my town or governorship of Washington State. And so that's the decision I'm trying to make right now. I'm working out the details of which one would be the most efficient and the one that'll be the quickest one to get into and easiest first, so I can get my foot in the door for any kind of law change and mandate removal.
Right.
That's the first thing. So I have until the end of January to put my hat in the ring for either one. So I think I'll be I'm still on track for that. So I have to get all that info out before then. So.
Great. I'd love to promote your campaign here. And at the same time, I've had two governor candidates, one from Virginia and the other one from California. And I also, next week, I'm having somebody running for Congress from Alaska. And they can share a lot of information with you. If you have any questions, I can put you in contact with them, what they have and what they went through. A lot of interesting things and a lot of weird stuff in California going on. I can't really get into right now, but that's a strange state. That's a strange state of affairs. So if you want that, I can give you that information. And, you know, they've been on the news and everything. So I'm trying to get – I love having political people on to see what they go through. People have no idea. And this, like my friend that ran in Virginia expressed, you know, a lot of – racism in the urban parts, I'm sorry, rural parts of Virginia. Things you don't think about. You think, well, yeah, we're over that. But sometimes you're not. So I encourage that with you. So if you want to get involved in that, I'm sure you got a plan. But the reality is not like the plan sometimes. It turns into something different. So that's a great goal. I've thought about doing that myself here in Ohio or wherever I live at the time. Because, you know, you can start small, just like General Flynn says, you start small and you build your way up to the top. And that affects the top. And pretty awesome guy. I got to talk to him for a little bit a couple months ago. Very nice man. Wields a lot of power in the military and social life right now. So people like him and the other people that run, that care for this country, I support you 100% any way I can. If I have to legally vote in your state, no, I wouldn't do that.
If I have to pull a Democrat, I'm going to pull a Democrat.
Well, I told a friend of mine, if you run for Congress down in Florida, I'll come down there and vote for you. So I always say that, but I don't really mean it. So if anybody's listening, that's not what I'm going to do. And
you better be careful. I heard him say it.
Yeah, I know. I would legally move to that state. Okay, all right, leave me alone. I get enough stuff from Facebook all the time, and you know the censors and other people. But yeah, that's a really noble cause because we need the right people. It's so critical right now, and. What would you do? What are the things that you would do if you were the mayor or the governor? Because I know you're living probably an area that needs adult supervision.
Lord, anything I do after this point would be an upgrade. Anything. I could do literally anything right now, and it'd be an upgrade. Okay, let's just put it there first of all. But the very first thing, I would lift every single mandate and leave it up to the business what they want to do. It really should be that easy. If you are an employer and you want to have a certain kind of thing, you have that choice, feel free. However, if you decide to fire your employees because they don't want to get the vaccine, they have all legal rights to go after you. The same way that you can't fire somebody for their religion and for their sexual orientation, you will not be able to fire somebody for their vaccine status. I'll make sure that's the first thing. That's the first thing. And then the whole mask mandate, that's gone. All schools open, gone. I don't want any of the kids being kept out of school anymore. The social distancing, there's no research that ever said that kids are at risk for this thing. Remove it. Remove the man. I will block every mandate coming in that kids need to get vaccinated. No kid's going to get vaccinated unless the kid himself is going to say it. Nothing under 16. And if the kid's 16 and over, they get to decide, not the parents. Plain and simple.
Yes.
If they want to pass rules that say kids can choose their gender at 5, then the kid can choose to get vaccinated or not. It's that simple. You're going to put the ball in the kid's court that early, then I can put any ball I want in the kid's court that early. So I'll just use their own logic against them. That's my plan.
As governor, let's say you become governor, you work your way up. What would you do there for the state of Washington?
Same thing for the state. Same thing for the state. The same thing. You see how Ron DeSantis is doing it, opened up the state completely?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. There would be no more in airport nonsense. All that's gone. Every last bit of the mandates are gone. Because I'm going to fully put on my side a full case together for all the research to be done by my state about the vaccine, one, and two, about the virus. I get my own information. Then I publicize that information, and that way I have the research on my side as well as the laws on my side. But I'm fully done with this because you're hampering people's ability to make a living, and that's not fair. So
that is a crime. That is a war crime. That's crazy.
But they're getting away
nurses,
with it.
Nurses, doctors, they can't work anymore.
Yeah, so I'm going to fix all that if I get in. That's you can be sure of that.
Sounds, that's what we need everywhere. We need that in a lot of these blue states and some red states like Ohio. We need somebody with leadership to say, hey, we're not going to do this. This is, we make our own rules. That's the thing that they don't get. You know, you have more power. The state has more power than the federal. So all their job is for the enumerated powers. It's not for anything else. It should have nothing to do with the states. You can do the freeways and everything, but you know, they handcuffed us, you know, giving us funding, and it doesn't even matter. It's still not constitutional.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So that. Oh, go ahead.
Say again.
Oh, go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I said I agree fully with that. I agree fully with that. We need more people stepping up to the plate.
Yes, and it's getting to where, you know, after 30 years in the military, it's like, what does that mean? How does that translate today? It doesn't make any sense. When you defend the Constitution, and everybody does in this country, the people that are pro-United States, they defend the Constitution. Well, I don't understand what's going on where our biggest enemy in this country is the news media. They make, they give power to the people that are anti-constitutional by saying we live in a democracy, or let's look at this color and that color. And I know you brought this stuff up before on your show. It's all about theater. It's all about theater because, you know, there are a lot of stories that never come out, things that don't happen. Like right today, or was it yesterday? They have proven that Obama's birth certificate is a fraud. It's copied and pasted from another birth certificate. Did you see that?
Oh, we've all known that for I don't know how long.
Yes,
now. I mean,
we have. But it'll never make the news. It'll never be on mainstream media.
Yeah.
And this is a very serious thing. They know who the other birth certificate is from and everything, and they have proof it's been, you know, it's proven, but it doesn't matter. That's the kind of country we live in right now. I know you run into that all the time when you talk about that on your show.
Yep. And like I said, I'm used to them ignoring the facts, ignoring what they need to ignore. And the fact that when they ignore it, that's when I know we're right.
Yes, right.
They prove it every time they fight it. So, that's all the proof I need.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. That's how it works. That's their logic. Their logic is messed up. So, you know, don't worry about it. It'll go away.
Right.
And what it does, they have to address it, and then they spin it another way. And it's like the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. So, oh, my goodness. It just never ends. This is worse than I've ever remembered. You know, my childhood and growing up, they used to tell the news. They used to talk to you about what really happened, and the news wasn't 100 items. It was only like, if you go back to the 70s, 80s recording, they only have like 4 or 5 topics in the news. But now it's all the virus. It's all about the vaccines. They've got everything in there. They tell you how to drive in the wintertime or when it's raining. This is just ridiculous. They treat you like an idiot. It's amazing. And we, on the other hand, we come right to the point. We tell the truth. That's why people are gravitating toward these podcasts and these amateur radio things, because
yep.
you get to hear deep discussions and solutions, maybe, that won't make the light. You never hear this stuff, a lot of this stuff on the mainstream. They keep all that stuff quiet. That's why people are on Telegram and all these other places. I've learned so much stuff from them, from that program. It's amazing, stuff that you never hear. So you got to look for stuff for yourself. Watching that Channel 6 and Channel 10, it doesn't help you at all. They're all
yeah.
programmed to do the same thing. As you saw, as you've seen that before.
In all actuality, all they're doing is suppressing, and people are falling for it. So.
Right. So is there anything else you want to talk about, Marlon? You got any words of wisdom to give us?
Keep your ears open and your heart available for people. The world is a big place, but you need to small it down just a little bit to your circle to start any change. And big things are coming, and we just have to be prepared for it. And I don't mean some kind of JFK thing. I mean big things are coming because people are waking up. People are done with all of the nonsense. They're done with the rhetoric. And the more of us realize it, the more of us are waking up, big things are going to start happening. And they won't fight. They can't fight everybody. So we need to get prepped for that.
That's pretty awesome. So you're saying they can't put us all in jail, right?
They can't put us. They can't arrest us all. Don't worry about the law. They can't arrest us all.
That's right. We are the people.
Exactly. There's more of us than there are of them.
Right. Well, they're going to start putting out the monkeys and the robots. You know, I think that's what I'm afraid of. And the drones.
They're still going to outnumber them. They're still going to outnumber them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That is true.
At the least, there are 150 million of us. At the least.
Yes, that's right.
So,
150 million strong. But with the voting machine, we're like 200 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And the illegals, they're okay. They can do whatever they want in this country. And that also, that makes me angry. We don't have a border anymore. It's just
that's a whole show on just that.
Yeah.
That is that. Man, you don't even get me started on that one. That's a whole other show. You don't want to get me started as an immigrant. You don't want to get me started on that thing.
So, yeah, I'm going to have you back on for that, just for that. I think I'd like to do that.
Yes.
We have time.
I think, yes, that would be a good idea.
And I have friends that are angel parents that totally agree, and I was watching one of them last night on a program. He was a Marine, and his son was a Marine. His son was killed by somebody who was illegal in this country in Maryland, that the county never got rid of the guy. They never deported him. There are people that had their kids murdered or ran into an accident or something, whatever. And the parents, the people that did it have like 30 days in jail or something like that, or they get deported and this is their fifth time. So many things like this. There's so many holes at the border. And it's done on purpose, as you know. You know this is all planned. They have too many things coming through that benefit them on the dark side. So
yeah.
It'll never be closed. And that's why they fear Trump. And they fought it so hard. Child trafficking and drugs. And the drug industry is incredible, incredibly huge. And they have to have that, guns, all kinds of things. So that'd be a great program. Thanks for that.
They're padding their voter base too, so they're padding their voter base.
That's right. So I'm going to have you back on for that because that's a great topic. I have other people I can add in for that really feel the pain of that, and it's pretty sad, you know. And they're advocates now for the closed border, and you know, as they should be, as everybody should be, every American should be. Because we are all Americans, we're supposed to be all Americans. Let's act like Americans and be American.
Fully agree.
Sounds kind of
funny.
But hey, thanks for your time. This show is scheduled to shut down in half an hour, but I know you got stuff to do. And
yeah,
I appreciate you coming on.
I have to get prepped for my live at 4. And
yes.
Once I get.
Yes, everybody listen to his show. Listen to Marlon Brown's show, Brown with an E. Look him up. I enjoy what you do, and keep on doing what you're doing. And you're a patriot after my own heart. And we appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Just let me know when you want me back.
I sure will. Thank you so much for coming on. See you later.
Thank you.
Take care. God bless America.
America, strong.
That's right. All right, that was Marlon Brown. What a guy. Listen to his program. It's fantastic. He's got a lot of things he brings up that he talks about, and he's got Corey's partner in the program, and you can see him with a lot of other up-and-coming people. The guy's very smart. He's got a lot of tenacity, and points, he just doesn't care. Wear the mask? I don't wear a mask. That's how he is. I have a lot of friends like that, too. But when you get on the plane, you got to wear it, you get kicked off, you can't get what you're doing. So sometimes you got to compromise there a little bit. So anyway, that was the American Legion show for today. Next week, we're going to record on Monday. I'll be going out of town the next Thursday. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have Randy Curran, who's going to be running for the Alaska Congress. Congressional seat. He's trying to get rid of Murkowski, which is a big deal. Wish him the best of luck. He was also a former Blog Talk Radio host, and now he's on another network. Forward to having him on board to see what his campaign's like and what life on the road is. I may have a couple congressional or gubernatorial friends chime in on this. And maybe we'll have Marlon Brown because I think he can learn a lot from these people. They're good friends and everything of mine, so I appreciate them being part of the show and contributing. I learned so much from everybody that I have on here, like Attorney Brad Geyer. So learned so much about January 1st and things that are happening in the DOJ. It'll blow your mind what's going on, how that actually operates. They are an entity of their own, with their own governance and everything. So that's why you probably hear about a lot of problems going on in there. And from what he explained to me, I totally understand things a little better now. Not your average federal employees. So, and also, we're trying to get some more guests. I'm going to have Cindy Blank on. In the future, I'd like to have some other people, and you might see me asking you, hey, come on the show. Well, it's good to have variety. People like people that are maybe a little more, have a little more fame up in the rafters of success or whatever. I like people who are doing things. I don't really, that's not me. I'm people who are contributing positively, you know, the vibes and everything, and people who have, they're doing things for themselves, for other people who are serving other people. I like those kind of people, those kind of guests. It's nice to have General Flynn on and all that, but there are people that are my heroes. General Flynn is a military hero, but there are people that I work with that are incredible people. People who do things or did things that you would never think about doing. It's just that's just the way they are. The greatest people in the world that I met in the military, awesome, awesome people. But I love to have them on and talk about things because, I mean, they keep it real. You have to be yourself, your true self, when you're doing that kind of stuff. And so those true selves are amazing, amazing people. So I'm going to close out the show tonight, and I appreciate everybody that listens, and if everybody around the world, people in Australia, Philippines, Finland, France, Canada, love you Filipinos, that's where I used to live, I was a kid there, love the food, love the people, stay strong when you're going through this. I know you guys are going through a lot with the compulsory jabs. So, and the people in Australia, I know you guys are going through a lot. And as Marlon said, you're probably breaking through. We'll see what happens coming up in the future. But as for now, we're going to end the program, and we'll be back again on Monday. I know this is a little different because I had to move this up to accommodate Marlon and hear his story. So, I don't regret that at all. And I get to spend time with family at 7 o'clock. And I appreciate you being here. And catch you next week on Monday with Randy Furum as our guest. And hey, the signal said, this is amazing. So, everybody take care. Remember, you can't get what you want. I'm so appreciate it. Sorry about that. Everybody have a good night. Thank you. Bye.